This is how much we know about movies. We just, this, if you want a raw review of movies, you're getting it right here, because we don't know shit.
Dad!
Oh, fuck, I don't know, man. Is that like nostalgia purposes for kids these age?
Well, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Forget that, Pop.
Fine, I'll Google it. Through the magic
of podcasting.
I mean,
you don't have to Google it. I'm just saying, you just take it out.
No, no.
Not bring it out, or just be better prepared.
Now I'm gonna shut your fucking mouth.
I am your father.
Man, sometimes I wish, like, things would stay at a simpler time mentality.
Welcome to the Two Dads Review Podcast. This is everybody in the, everybody's in here for a real long time. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like summer started early.
Mm-hmm. And if they don't figure out what they're going to do with the schools next year, next school year, then the schools are going to start late. Because they're going to have to figure out if they're going to make all these kids wear masks. Are we going to be in the middle of another friggin' pop-up because all these places are opening up? If that's the case, then there won't be school next year either. There just won't be school. Everybody's going to be on pause.
Yep. Who knows?
Who knows? Ho hum.
I don't care.
I know. Like, at this point, it's like, at this point,
I mean,
it is what it is.
There's nothing I can do. Like, all I can do is just listen and wait. And then I don't care when they say the first green light is. Like,
I'm still not
going anywhere
I'm
for
not
a little
hitting the
while.
Gas.
Like, I'm good. I'll wait till winter to roll through and maybe, like, kill some shit. And then the next year, I'll fucking think about going out again.
Right. Hey, dude, I'm all about all kids being required to wear masks in school, because that would alleviate the cycle of fevers and colds and snots and sore throats and strep and shit that rolls through each school, because every parent's like, here, take a bunch of Tylenol and get to school while your fever's down, and hopefully they don't catch it before you got to get back on the bus to come home so I can go to work. And it's like, quit sending your fucking sick kids to school. And friggin' let him stay home. Well, I can't take the day off. Well, how about we just took fucking some months off, so shut up. So you can take a day, let your kid get fever-free. Damn it. So yeah, if they all wear masks, man, transmittal will be down a ton.
No way on God's green earth would that ever work.
Hmm.
No way.
Yeah, there's enough adults fighting it like big fucking babies right now.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the kids would be in there, and that would just be like, I have a reason to fuck around now, you know? And then, I mean, even like, we're going to do special needs kids, man. Like,
that's what my wife said too, is like, there's no way our daughter would keep her mask on.
No. I mean, you would be going through a whole like glasses period again. Like,
mm-hmm.
You got to understand. You got a kid with, but you, well, that's what I'm
saying.
She does
that shit now.
Well, right. Yeah, but at least now, like, there's a I pull them off kind of thing. But before, it was like, as soon as those things were like haloing over her, it was like, I'm gonna throw this thing as far as I fucking can. And then I think it clicked on her finally when she was like, "Oh shit, I can see better. Hold on,
right?
Like, I like this."
Right.
Yeah. No, I couldn't. I feel like the only way that would work for children is if we had some kind of like equilibrium situation going on where the parents are so fucking regimented that the kids are like regimented, but then there's the whole like, are the kids watching the parents, and then the parents are like, I'll be damned that this little fuck turns me in, so you will put that mask on, like, you know, fears instill, like they just, like, it, I don't know, dude, the first, I could only imagine the shenanigans and nonstop fucking tomfoolery that would go on if it was like, okay, you're required to wear a mask. First question would be like, who's paying for it? Like, that would be the very first question.
That's where it always starts. I like, somebody compared it to, not for schools, but because the schools, I don't know how much I want to get into this and how much I'm going to put in the podcast, but the schools do more parenting than some of these fucking parents out here right now. Where it's,
well,
like,
that's always been the case.
I know, and that's fucking sad. So, yeah, of course there'll be a chunk of students that are given their mask by the school because their parents don't believe in them or don't whatever, but they still want them to take their you know, free education. So, you know, yeah, that's always going to be the case. God, I was looking online today on like how to sew my own, because I'm like, okay, these like throwaway ones, like, they suck. Like, I'm not wearing this shit all day. So let me get make myself one. And I was like, all these YouTube videos and shit. It was like, yeah, easy. You know, no sewing. I mean, I can use a sewing machine, so that doesn't scare me. But I'm like, easy does not a 20-minute YouTube video make. Because I was like, Jesus, lady. Like, you're skipping, like, you're fast-forwarding in the footage to get this thing to be 20 minutes. I'm like, God damn it, just for one? Like, get out of here. But I have a pattern right here of one I'm going to try to make this week at some point. And, you know, see what happens.
I don't wear one.
You don't go anywhere. I had to go in the office yesterday, so yeah. I was in a mask when I was walking around. When I'm at my desk, I've got it cleaned off so I can, like, sit there. Anybody gets near me, I'm like, back the fuck up off me. Oh, man. All right, so let's talk some Penny Dreadful, episode 3. It was a little bit of a slow burn, and then it got real festive real quick at the very end. Like, to the point where I wasn't even, like, I was kind of worried the dance scene was going on too long. But it didn't, and I was like, this is really fun right now. Like, I'm really...
Yeah, the whole scene of, like, getting pulled into the dance, and then, like, the dance, like, being completely, everybody, you know, choreographed, and, like, a whole bunch of different angles, and then, like, losing the main guy in the crowd for them to appear, and then just, like, you know, Rico fucking twirling through, like, 4 or 5 different girls, and then, like, pulling him out, and, like... I was like, man, this is cool. Like, it was, given all the things that we have watched up until right then, it was a really good moment in time.
Change right? of pace type thing.
Yeah, like, you just kind of got lost in the dance, and you're like, oh, hey, I'm here with these guys, and I'm just kind of getting introduced to the new way of life, you know, really.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of forgot that you were following the eyes of a cop, and... following Nazis, and then you were in the damn eyes of a sick mother, and then crazy demon people, and, you know, and, like, just, it was all just doom and gloom, and then this whole thing, like, I almost, like, I did the same thing with you, kind of like, oh, shit, I thought it was all too long, but then it was broken up, but then it went right back into a ruckus again.
Right.
You know, but for a whole nother reason.
Now, did Magda as Rio... did she come out of left field, or when he said you have to kiss the ring and talk to the queen, did you go, oh, it's got to be her?
I just felt like, yeah, like, she's the key player on everybody.
Yeah, to be honest, when they swept over to her and she had the big hat on, you couldn't see her face, and she went up, I was like, oh, shit, I'm actually surprised. I don't know why I'm surprised, since she is literally popping up everywhere. I don't know why I was surprised, but I didn't feel like this was part of her... It was a good surprise. It was very cool, but I was just like, I did not even see it coming. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think I just knew it was her because I had seen pictures of all her outfits.
Oh, damn. Okay, so yeah.
When I was looking at photos, so like when I saw the pants and stuff, like right when we got, I was like, oh, when is she going to pop out? And then as soon as they did that, I was like, there she is.
Mm-hmm.
But it also makes sense, though, that like she's on that side, because you can tell that Rico now is like... the person she's going to whip up into a frenzy to be everything that the Nazis and the guy running for mayor want to be, and, you know, just causing utter chaos across the whole city.
Well, she's got a hard sell with Rico. He's the one who's against standing up for it to a certain extent. And while she has a certain amount of control over him, bringing Mateo in is going to really help her cause.
He's going to be the third wheel, like...
He may end up being the new number two, because she'll take a liking to him, and then Rico may end up having some sort of feud.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, Rico's going to have an accident, and he's going to be the number one with her now. Like, he's going to fall in love with her, then you're going to have the bullshit with him and Rico, and then he's going to actually end up taking over, and then you're going to have all three brothers, and they're kind of different groups, all... swatting each other, and then the Nazis in the mix too. But, or, you know, you get the whole thing, like, one of the brothers actually dies, like, he gets up, he is the king of kings and whatever little faction we break off into, but he's the one that dies.
Yeah, maybe,
you know,
Can we talk about our introduction to Rico this episode and how that was not water flying off his hair? And I was like, if I was in that dance floor, which my ass would never be on a dance floor, but still, and some dude came swinging his hair around and it was just flying sweat everywhere. I was like, oh man, that is like, that's just gross. That's gross. Like, he came in there flipping his hair and it was just, and it hit like, it hit eight people on the right and eight people on the left. Cause and they framed it, of course, so you could see it and like, you know, all how visceral they're dancing. Now they're all like hot, sweaty. And I'm like, that's just gross.
Yeah. When he swung his hair, part of me went, what the fuck?
Like, you're not Triple like, H.
Just, what was it? Like, that's, like, I didn't know what the fuck was going on right from the get. And then, of course, like, when they panned in on him, I realized that he was, like, sweating his ass off. And this was just him, like, showing himself. And with his long-ass hair, like, flung out, he's, like, that hot and sweaty and all the sexual tension going on in the room from the fucking dancing and stuff. I also like how anybody that got hit, like, also just, like, well,
you're like, it's what happens.
Yeah, you just keep going about it, dude. And I was like, I don't know how anybody's fucking dancing anymore then. Because if he's sweating like that, flinging gobs of water off his hair, like he somehow stored it on his root. And then as it whipped out, it like gained momentum and more water up the length of hair and shot out. Right. But that floor should have been soaking fucking wet, like a slip and slide, dude. The first person that tried to do like some backflip twirl thing, dead.
Dropped on like, their neck. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. On a more serious note though, you mentioned it a little bit a second ago, how everybody was so choreographed and it was a whole like, you know, it was meant to look a little bit like a standard dance floor, but you could tell that they were all doing their same their choreographed moves in section. Do we think that Magda has control of that group? Do you think that she's causing the quote unquote choreography? While we know it's filmed that way, but is it, you think that's her? You think that's an influence thing?
No, I think that was just people.
Or are they dancing, all doing the blank dance routine? Like, this is the, for lack of a better term, because I'm not 800 years old, the Charleston, like this is the whole, you just jump into the step that you're in and you finish the rest of the dance out to that song.
Yeah, I think that was I think the dance scene was supposed to be more of, you know, everybody was swing dancing through there and kind of their rhythm. But of course, there was a choreographed part, so everybody moved around so, you know, said dancers could swing through and do their thing. But I also think it was supposed to show that, like, this was Rico's crew of people. Like, you know, every time a new girl swung in, they were coming in and out of one of the other crowds. Like, you just, hey, when he's here, man, like, we're all connected. Like, we, you know, it mm-hmm. was supposed to just kind of represent that. Like, you're one of us.
Yeah.
Now, I think that wasn't really her causing the dancing and stuff like that. Now, of course, it probably made it a little cleaner, a little nicer.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
yeah, I mean,
or a little whatever her essence does. Mm-hmm. Like that, maybe that's why the fuck everybody was like sweating, like they're all having just amazing sex on the dance floor or something.
Right.
You know, like maybe that's just her causing that kind of thing. But no, I don't think that was like, say, all of her little children like popped out.
No, not necessarily that. Just her ability to whisper, her ability to control a crowd. Was that being shown that she could do it in less of a hostile way?
No, I think that was just more of to show little brother what one of us is kind of thing. So he felt like, I think they were filming everything to look so inclusive and kind of, you know, choreographed together. Like he would just fit right in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all you do is step right in and go, man. And he did.
He jumped right in there, and the boy held his own. So he's definitely in. He gets his tattoo at the end to be part of the group, the gang, or whatever we're going to call it, to stay with him, because that's pretty much all of his involvement in the episode, except the very beginning, where we see his brother, who we last saw him was standing all zombie-like in front of his mom.
Yeah, and now so we don't really know how many days have passed or what, but it was just like
It only been what? A whimmer. Actually, we do know because Rico said, didn't we parlay a week ago? And he said, yeah, but I had to work. So it's been a week.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's been a week. And so he's not a zombie, at least right now. So he's okay. He can hold a conversation. He's still tired. He's still, you know, he's got that. I love that bloodshot contact. Like the one when they use to make your eye out, that looks so gnarly when they do that shit. And you know, he's got black eyes and his face is all, you know, puffed up and he just looks like shit. But he's okay for now. I mean, I'm sure there'll be repercussions to being called upon by, you know, or for his mother to be calling Santa Muerte in there to get him out of bed. So, but right now he's okay. And Mateo told him what happened because he didn't. Of course, most of the time when there's some kind of brain injury like that, you don't forget, you don't remember what happened right around that time frame. And so, yeah. Mateo told him who shot him and was like, "If I was Pachuco right then, I'd slit his throat for doing that." And then his brother grabbed him by the throat and said, "No, you want to see hell? You look in Tiago's eyes. He's not part of our crew. He's not part of the cops. He's not Hispanic. He's on his own little island," which we mentioned back, I think, on the first episode after he shot it. Like he's got no one. He's grasping for straws. He's got Nathan Lane's character and he's got Molly and that's it. And after this episode, he's not got Molly either. And actually doesn't have Nathan. That doesn't have what's his real name? I'm sorry. I don't mean to use his actor name. What's the character's name? I don't remember.
I don't ever keep track.
Lewis. How many times Lewis Meichner. I know, right? Lewis Meichner. He doesn't have Lewis or Molly. He thinks Molly's already had sex. So, oh no, before she ever met him. So now he's mad at her. Or at least like, well, she's lied to me. And then you have Meichner who told him what happened and figured it out.
Yeah, but he was still on her side even though when
he told him. Yeah, he was still like, he still may not believe it. He still doesn't necessarily. Yeah. I couldn't tell at the very end shot when he was looking at he had all of the case in front of him and all of the documents and stuff and the Popeye up on the desk. I couldn't tell if that look with that one eye that was welled up with a tear, like if it was like if he actually put the pieces together like Meichner did and, you know, was like, oh shit, this looks like that, yeah, she was doing this guy and then they were going to run off together or whatever. And she's playing her character to him after having such a wonderful time down at the pier.
The second best day of my life.
Yeah. Right. But the brother who got shot, like he gave that dude credit. And then when Tiago came to check on him, you know, he kind of gave him that, like,
they did the unspoken, like
I know just, you did this, but
we're not going to talk about it, you know? Yeah, because even his older brother, when he was being told, you know, like, it's like, oh, fuck, my brother shot me. But at the same time, when he was being told that he was just gunning people down in the back.
Thank you. Yes, can we also, why, I mean, why is this guy not in jail? Because he killed four cops.
Well, I think there's two things. They all look alike to them.
Oh, there. Well, right. Yeah. Possibly.
You know, there's that.
It was and near plus the end of everybody, the bedlam.
Yeah, and plus everybody. That I mean, we got a clear look, but that was supposed to be such a ruckus that it was just bullets were flying everywhere. Quote, and really, the only three people that kind of saw what the fuck was going on was the two cops and the younger brother. Like when it goes to that regarding his brother, you know, everybody else was like getting shot in the fucking face or the other guys that would have known who it was or were all getting blown out in the fucking back of the head.
Yeah, right.
You know, so I don't.
Mateo knows though. Mateo, why? I mean, and so that was the part like when the older brother realized that what he had done, like, he's like, oh, he shot me. And then he was like, oh, and I shot like five people. So I kind of understand why he had to gun me down. And I don't remember any, and the fact that he thinks he blacked, you know, he said he can't remember it, whether it's from the injury or because he was in Magda's trance, whatever the memory loss, he doesn't remember doing it, which is even worse. But Mateo's telling him. So good,
well,
good on
them
saying, for that
like,
part.
He seemed to realize why he got shot. It wasn't like he just was like, oh, well, fuck y'all, and got popped. It was, dude, you were just like massacring people, like, with one shot, and they were not there anymore.
You literally became a mass murderer in, like, 3 seconds.
Yeah, like, whatever your switch was, like, you fucking found your niche quick, dude.
Mm-hmm. But so that's most of their... I do like the joke he made about... He's when Mateo was talking about joining... meeting up with Rico or whatever, and he was like, I just want to see you in those stupid fucking pants. And yeah, honestly, those are pretty stupid fucking pants. They are the 30s version of hammer pants.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's all like...
It is, part of it is really,
it's like,
appealing.
It's such an era thing, right?
Right.
You know, like, it's, you always see the old man that gets blasted into the future somehow, or like the one kid that goes back in time and it's like, y'all dress like that? Like, I don't fucking get it. Da, 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 da. But, you know, you imagine just those making a comeback though. Right.
That was like, a long, like, jacket too. He was wearing that jacket was,
yeah,
long.
Like the whole zoot suit kind of thing, just, but the Tom and Jerry kind of style of it just fucking was like caught on, and everybody started walking around like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or like younger people, no one of our age, you know, but like just say 16 to like 25, somewhere in there, like in all the different kind of like good, bad, and like, oh, what the fuck are you doing kind of styles.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be so happy. Like I would be, oh, that would make me so happy. So happy. I would be in tears laughing all the time.
That's funny. So let's go a little bit darker for a bit. At the very beginning, in the opening of the episode, you have Meichner in the morgue with his two buddies who were burned. They were not burned alive. They were long dead before they went over that cliff. And good on the morgue doctor. What the fuck is he called? I don't remember the name now. I'm blanking on it. Whatever. Anyways, good on him for figuring it out already. Like, hey, they may have burned, their bodies may have burned, but these, I dug these out of their skulls. So they didn't die from whatever that guy was trying to cover up. He's should have known better. Like, you're not going to cover up shooting some guys in the face. Like, you're just not.
I don't even know if he was trying to cover it up. I just think he just
doesn't care.
Yeah, like, he just shot him in the face, and then, like, probably knows that his gun's gonna be a little hard to trace kind of thing.
Yeah, in the fire, right?
Right, and then just was like, I don't like Jews. Down the fucking bad hill, yeah, they went. Like, I think that's all that was. That wasn't some, let me burn the body and take the dental work kind of thing. It was like, no, just fuck y'all.
Yeah. And Lewis wants to take the bullets with him. And he's like, just take your time on the report. Do me this favor. Forget you saw these. I mean, A, to tip off the fact they were murdered, to kick off that part of the investigation so he can do his own little snooping first, which, got to give him credit on that part. You understand why he wants to. But, I mean, and then you have him going in the hallway. And I just like when they do artsy shit in film and TV. Like, he stood in this column of light to then break down about his buddies, and like, you know, he's on the side of good, he's trying to do the right thing, and this is what happens to him. And like, I don't know, I just kind of like the shot of where he was on the stairwell when he broke down and started crying. Dude, Nathan Lane knocked it out of the park this episode. I just want to say that right now, because after this, he tracks down the kid from the college.
Fucks that poor boy up so bad.
Dude, let me tell you what, you and I have watched a lot of action movies. John Wick, we went to theaters for at least the second or third or both together. And I'm a fan of all sorts of the Taken series, Bourne series. Let me tell you something right now. I've never seen someone draw from a fucking shoulder holster and pistol whip you in the same fucking motion. That,
yeah,
was
that
artistic.
Was pretty, especially in like the window space of where the kid was sitting and shit too, dude. Like, oh, and then throws him down, and then, of course, there was the whole spiel of, like, they'll kill me, and he's like, the fuck do you think I'm gonna do to you? I just knocked your teeth out, kicked you in the face, like, broke your nose, like, and I'm gonna throw you down this fucking hill when I'm done with it.
Right, you're gonna die if you don't fucking tell me. He was on...
Like, I'd pay good money for just Nathan Lane's character to go like hunt a couple Jews through a movie being like
not Jews himself. Nazis.
Like, oh yes, Nazis.
I was Jesus like, what? Christ.
Oh, wow.
Wow, dude, that's dark.
Wrong side. Fuck. Yes, hunting the Nazis down is this character. And it was so good, dude. Like, he just, the way he flips switches on that dude, like, oh yeah, because he just was like, seemed to be lost telling his story to this kid, knowing exactly where he was.
I don't know,
my
boss wanted me to pull you downtown. We don't ask, it's above my pay grade, just get in the car, man. We're just going to drive on down there. Then he drives him into the fucking mountains of California.
Yeah, where are we? Oh yeah, I guess
this is good. So we're left with a little bit of a cliffhanger with that kid, because the last thing we see of any of them, well, we see Meichner later on about Molly, but that doesn't matter. The kid says, "What do you know about Wernher von Braun?" So I did a little Googling, and like we had mentioned before, an episode or two ago when he first tracked the kid to the college, Wernher von Braun was part of the Nazis, like, rocket program. Like, he ends up after the war, like, defecting to America.
He invented the V2,
right?
And then came over here and then helped with the fucking space program and
correct
and all this shit. Yeah, he's like got all these great like U.S. credits and everything. But yeah, homeboy was a Nazi.
Yes, correct. Yeah, he did work for NASA and all that other stuff. But well, yes, he created the V2 rockets.
Yeah, he was a lot like a lot of the Nazi scientists that once we found out what they knew, we were like, you got two choices, join us or die, basically, har, 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 you know? Mm-hmm. And
so yep. That kid is either working with them or working alongside them or something for the Nazis as well. So either he's working for Braun through the U.S., who knows? I don't know. Well, hopefully they give us more of this kid's story as we go on, because I'm guessing he spilled all of his guts to Lewis at that point. So that's good. And then I guess the rest of the episode was Molly's stuff with Tiago. But first, Molly was doing her rehearsal, and her mom's working the books, and she's definitely planning on leaving. And her mom's like, I got stuff planned. And she's like, no, I'm going to go get this fitting done. And then her mom sends the henchman to follow her, and she meets Tiago coming out of the station. I don't think he knew she was coming. He was going to the bus stop,
I think she likes him.
She went to him, yeah, and so they talk, and then they go down to the pier, and he gets her a Popeye. And the only reason you bring up the Popeye is for later on, because that was a little bit chilling. So they finish their date. We see that the guy has tracked her down there, and he's watching them while eating cotton candy, and they have their big conversations, all lovey-dovey shit, and, you know, life, and she can't have fun things in her house, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they want to be the can't-be, blah, blah, blah.
The Romeo and Juliet type thing.
Dads or henchmen's told mama.
Right.
And then mama fucking creepily turns on the light in the house.
Just the light. Right, next to the chair she's sitting
in.
Yeah,
so like,
dark.
You know when you go into the house and there's a scene where someone's sitting in the chair and then they flick the lamp on, right? Okay, so it's this, but this whole house is white. Like, everything in the fucking house is like white to like a light yellow, okay? And she walks in, and the stairwell is like one of those, like, I go up on both sides, you walk up me in the middle, I'm all fucking Beauty and the Beast-esque, like, mm-hmm. Nice-ass stairwell. And then there is a chair, and then, like, a lamp and a fucking piano or something, I think.
I think it's just a reading, like, it's a reading chair with a light next to it, yeah.
Yeah, well, Mama fucking flicks that light on and then sings probably one of the, like... most unsettling versions of Popeye the Sailor Man.
Right, way to take one of the happiest songs in the world.
ever hear in your life. And then the worst part about all of this, okay, is like they don't cut the camera from her still singing where it's like panned in closely to her face. And then it's just like, oh, we're at the next scene. No. They kept the camera out. This bitch turned the fucking light off and then just stayed in the chair and like... daughter had like ran up the fucking stairs and like shut herself in the room and shit, and that was creepy.
That
like,
was
that the... part right there. I did not like. I was like, nope. And then later,
during the montage,
you get a whole montage of like all the characters, kind of where they're at, what they're feeling, what they're going through, like. Everybody was supposed to have these really kind of good days or terrible days that were turning good, but look, everybody is just kind of
done
at a low end and done and doing something that is like, I don't want to say destructive, but you know when you have like that hard day at work and like the week's all shit and like that Friday you're just like, well, looks like I got drunk. Right. That's kind of where everybody was at in this fucking episode.
Right.
And I don't know what. All I could think of was that she was still
singing
Popeye the Sailor Man, because I was watching
the fucking closed captions.
And all they do is give you musical notes.
Right.
They don't tell you what it is. So I was like, oh my God, is she just sitting there singing that fucking Popeye the Sailor Man shit over and over through her door like that, like,
you know,
someone needs to stab her in the fucking face.
Knowing what they are, she's probably praying for her loudly at the door.
See, I want to think that, dude, but I just think this chick is fucking twisted.
I could not match anything at her lips to any of the song, but I watched it twice and I was like, I want her to be in my brain. She's singing the song. I'm with you. In my brain, mm-hmm. I'm like, no. She's at that door screaming that song at the top of her lungs, like as horribly sung as possible, just because, yeah, I was like, yeah,
just so you know, I am everywhere and you are not
right.
Like, whatever the fuck you thought you had does not exist.
Which, you know, and she's not a. How do I put this? She's not a new villain. Like, we've seen this villain 100 times in all sorts of TV and movies.
Yeah, the people under the stairs, she's the mom.
Right, the overbearing parent.
Scolds, yeah.
Who's living their life constantly. Through their child, and their child, and they are making this money. This is not an uncommon theme. So we know at some point, if the trope is to play itself out, Molly's going to go... double fingers in the air, I'm not fucking singing no more, fuck you, and then the whole business goes under, and that's it. And the mom has, and the mom's like, but wait, I love you. Oh, too bad, you're a cunt. So now we are where we are. How did you think this was going to end? You're riding on my coattails.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll get that with this, man.
Molly is going to, you're right, because Molly's just going to put a fucking heel through her throat. Which I would also like to see.
Dude, I don't even know about that, man. Like, the way this was, like, we already, she told Tiago, like, I was there singing, making things, and there was people using me already. Like, she knows the fucking business,
mm-hmm.
like, that she's in and everything. But, I mean, her mom, dude, the way that whole scene went down.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think
you're going to see any, this is more of a Norman Bates thing. Like, this isn't a, oh shit, she's going to have a fucking uprising and like take care of herself and stuff. I don't think that the way that they made that whole scene look like it was going to be long, drawn out, painful. And like, whatever happens, like her freedom will be death kind of thing. Like,
right. Well, okay. So let's go with that. So let's go with what we know so far. What Meichner has told us this episode through his investigative, which we have no reason to doubt his ability to read clues. So let's assume for this moment, episode 3, that Meichner's right and that Molly was fucking that dude. Okay, so are we saying that who do we think killed that family? The mom and the henchman?
Yeah.
I think so too. And so at that, so you're right. We may not get to the downfall will be of her. But maybe through the police, not through, you know, Tiago will be the white knight. He'll be the knight in shining armor who comes and saves her type thing. Or
yeah, dude, the way Penny Dreadful does things, like, I mean, just even based on the first series, not everything works out for the good people or, you know, whatever. Like, there's just bad shit that happens, and it's like, now you got to deal with it.
Right. Well, we're not taking into account Magda at all, which we have to at some point. Now, Magda and Molly's, like, their circles haven't crossed over in the Venn diagram yet. You know what I'm saying? Maybe with Tiago, because he's been touched by Santa Muerte, but not by much. So, yeah, there is definitely, like, a Magda has to, she's in this, but she's kind of an outlier of the murders themselves. But yes, yeah, so there's, you have to remember that she's the wild card at all times. So it could be.
Yeah. And like, she's just a wild card because we really know the least about her. Like, we know what the gimmick is. Like, we know what all the snake oil stuff surrounding her. Like, we understand that she knows that she's in it. She's trying to do the best that she can, but we don't know, like,
or Molly, who are you talking about?
Molly, the daughter. Right. Like, she knows the con game that goes on with her profession.
Correct. And her mother has that control to the point where it's, I mean, she's got,
like, she's terrified of her.
Yeah, she has whatever the current version of PTSD is. She just has TSD because she's not out of it yet. She's still, that whole curl up in the ball in your room rocking, That's like PTSD stuff, but the problem is it's still happening, so it's just traumatic stress disorder, I guess. I don't know. There's no post. It's still happening, baby.
But I'm kind of wondering if they're going to, like, kind of doing a thing where, like, her and Tiago, they're both kind of equally surrounded by bad things and people, whether it's they're influenced or just that's how they are kind of thing, right? Like, both of the brothers have been swayed. I'm wondering now, later, if we're going to maybe see a scene with the mom and some version of, you know, what's her face? Like, is she going to be another character, or is she just going to run across the mirror at some point kind of thing? Like, I feel there's an interaction back there, and then you have the two young people who love each other, who are not part of really any world at this point in time when it's all going down, or like, I'm just kind of wondering if we're getting to like some weird kind of prophecy thing.
Right.
You know, and then, cause I just, with the Nazis being involved, man, and we already have angels and shit, like, I'm waiting for more occult kind of things to go on, you know, and the dude that is our gentleman in the hat, like, he's already spoke on it. He's like, I speak for Hitler. I speak for the next 1,000 years.
Yeah,
like,
the Third Reich was supposed to be a 1,000-year plan. Yeah, right.
But a lot of the dudes that spoke like that were also like the SS, like occult guys. Like, they were also like
the ones that made Hellboy.
Well, yeah, basically, right? Like, they were the Hitler's. We know all the crazy shit about our dictators, basically, as far as we can get, you know, kind of like. I don't know. It's such a Nazi thing that it's always there now. Like, I'm waiting for more of occultish things to kind of like pop out with them. And I think Molly's character is going to get caught up in that part of it somehow, you know? And I don't think it's like, she's going to start singing and all of a sudden she's angelic or whatever. Right.
Do we think she could be a villain by the end of the season? Molly.
Yeah, but if she is, she's unknowingly doing it.
Okay.
Like, it's somehow, I don't know, she gets on a Christian circuit for Nazis. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't right. know. But right. It would be something where, example, like, the Nazi hears her singing somehow, just because he's down and around the area. Sends it back home, and it's one of those things where she becomes famous in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing, and then with everything that's going on, and no one really appears to be like, Nazis aren't that bad. And then there's, like, you know, of course, like, the lady who's opposing the dude trying to build the road, like, I've been squashing fascist little shits like you for like 20 years or whatever it was. Like, I was like, ooh, I like her. Let's see where the hell she goes.
Let's talk about the councilman for a minute. We haven't talked about his scenes yet. Yeah, he definitely is working on his image. He's working out, and you meet the lady you just mentioned, the councilwoman, where you can tell she doesn't like him. She doesn't like anything he's doing. You can tell he didn't clear any of that stuff with the rest of
That man was getting shooken by a giant rubber band.
Right? If only working out was that easy.
Right? Oh, Jesus. And then I love how his assistant, man, is like, and we will lay off the bread.
We'll
and, like,
give you the bread.
Yeah.
To the point where they're having dinner. Like the
she moves the fucking she basket. Does,
as he's grabbing bed, she grabs it, he drops it, and then he tries to, like, pull his dick out and lay it on the table. And he held on to that a real long time, but then the German guy gave his speech like you talked about, and the guy was like, I'm just going to say goodnight. I was like, oh, man. And then she...
Yeah, and by say goodnight, he meant he was going to go to a fucking park with gay men and go solicit a young man.
To blow.
Yeah. Because, well, so when she fucking... Because he was like, oh, what is he going to do? Go, like, sneak a malt chocolate? And she's like, no, I only wish. Like, it's going to be...
Right. She knows.
And now you know... Yeah. So now you know his big, like...
Secret.
Oh, shit thing that no one can ever find out or ruin my political career is that he's either gay or when he gets really stressed out, he likes to suck dick. One of the two things. Like,
right.
I don't know.
Right. We're not sure how far that goes, but she's blatantly aware of it and has been for a long time. And he is definitely not hiding it. Like, he doesn't, like, put on a hat and some, like, sunglasses or nothing. Like, he just shows up and, like, anybody who's watched... I mean, you literally have started putting yourself in newspapers and on the TV and shit.
Well, I think, like, that's the thing is, like, he doesn't realize
the newsreels, I guess,
like,
in the
'cause she was telling him, she's like, you have to clean your act up.
Right.
And now we really know what she's telling him. Not, like, stop being fat. It's... You got to stop being gay, basically.
Right. Quit going to suck dick when you're mad or being gay. Right. Whichever the 30s. Yeah. Whatever his, you know, because he's in denial of it while wiping it off his mouth. It's like, dude, you know, quit saying you're not. We just watched you. So don't be that guy.
Yeah. But I mean, like,
for that time frame, it's absolutely the way.
Yeah, it's easy for us to sit here. We've never really had a problem. But, like, dude, that fucking dude is like, you don't be gay. Like, being gay is wrong. Mm-hmm. It's forever wrong, you know? Like,
yeah.
I mean, so. But now you know what his, like, oh shit moment is going to be, basically.
Did we need that?
What, that he's gay?
Yeah, do we need that as a plot element?
I mean, I just don't see why not. Like, they've already seemed to, like, bring it up when the whole dance scene was going on. Like, the Chicanos are fucking for the Chicanos,
man,
the Spics, the Vegas, the fucking Dogas, the
Riley was
lesbians,
on point.
The queers, everybody. So
Riley was
the Pachuco's got a fucking whole goddamn fucking fleet of people who are ready to roll with him.
Yeah, right. I mean, and Riley, Officer Riley was on point with his racist assholeness. As usual, mm-hmm. when they break it up, and he was like,
if you're grading racist, dude, that guy's knocking fucking 10 of 10s out of the goddamn park. Like,
yeah.
Every time he opens his fucking mouth, it's almost to the point where, like, if he doesn't die soon in the show, that he may just be known for being, like, that really fucking racist cop. Because,
right.
Every time he talks, it's just him. Like, he's always with a group of people, right?
But they're definitely...
But every time it's him saying the shit, dude, they go right in on his fucking face, and this guy's about to pull, like, Joffrey asshole levels, and not, like, the next role you're gonna see him in, they're gonna be like, nah, dude, you can't be a dad.
Right.
You're a racist cop. Like, go the fuck away, right. You know?
You have now typecast yourself, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we had a quick scene with the doctor and Magda's other alias, and only thing that really made up for was her inviting him, or excuse me, him inviting her to his son's birthday party on Sunday, which Tiago's mom mentioned the next day she has to work is Sunday because of a party or whatever. The people she works for is having a party. So that I'm guessing is going to be part of the next episode, where some shit's going to go down. Who knows? I don't know. But that's kind of like a setup, but it was very little stuff. But, you know.
Yeah, I feel like that's where you're going to see Mama, like, go all, like, fucking brujo and shit. And
maybe she'll. Well, this will be the first time that Maria.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, she's going to sense whatever the fuck it is. Right. And, like, they're going to have that, like, oh, my hair on my neck stood up because something of other supernatural powers not here. And they're going to, like, see each other. And then there's going to be that she's putting some shit away, and then she closes the door behind her, and all of a sudden it's like they both reveal what the fuck it is, and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, yeah. And I did like speaking of Magda and her other personality, I loved when she stormed after the councilman sped off, and she stormed away. I was
so annoyed with the broken glass.
Well, but it was a cool transition from her, like, it was bam.
No, her transition was sweet. I just wish it wouldn't have just been like her walking and glass blowing up, because like they did the thing where there was a person that was like close enough that passed her right at the get-go. Mm-hmm. But then when they panned out and it was her walking, like no one was around. So it was like, okay, are we just like watching her walk around in her environment, like, and she's just breaking like the metaphorical glass that's around her, you know, as she's walking?
Right. Or was there a random thing?
Because she really can't do it.
Right.
Or was that just really randomly breaking as she's just walking in her outfit that no one can see her in?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, I was like, nah, should have just left the fucking, like, it bothered me. I was like, leave the glass alone.
Right. Just get mad. Get mad and just, yeah, go talk somebody and jumping off a building or something. Go do something.
Well, I was just saying, it was her walking. The transition was awesome. The music was good. Just have her walking off and, like, have the street that kind of eerily, deadly quiet it was, instead of this, like, massive orchestra of broken glass going off and then there being nothing around. It would be different if there was a fuck ton of people that were all like, what the fuck's going on? And like all the shit was just like going to hell as she was just ghost walking through there. Right.
Right.
But this was just purely theatrics
because I'm going to leave.
Because the TV show can, like, someone was like, you promised me 6 fucking broken glass panes, goddammit. I'm getting them.
Well, I'll leave this episode review with this. If you ever questioned how bad the Nazis are, how bad did Nazis have to be to piss off a demon? Like, where she's mad at a human because of what he's done. She's to the point where she's like pissed and just, you know, doing her like her power walk out, blowing glass out because some Nazi pissed her off.
I don't even think, like, she was mad at the Nazis and, like, made the comment, but she's more pissed off that, like, the shit she's got to deal with the mayor now. Mm-hmm. Like, that's
thanks to the Nazis.
Because he also tried to throw his dick on the table,
mm-hmm.
and it really fucking backfired on him when he really should have known his place and been like, what y'all need me to do? I need this for me. I obviously think we can come to some sort of agreement, har, 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 instead of like, you need me, motherfuckers, go kill this bitch, that's what I want, make it happen, and then he basically just gets told that he can be replaced and get the fuck on with his business.
Yeah, man, that dude, yeah, he did not read that room at all. He did not read the situation at all, like, correctly, and yeah, he messed that up, so...
Well, it's such like a devastating defeat for him because he was riding all high about his shit he did. And then again, it's like she has to deal with not only the hoopla of probably what's most likely going to transpire now, that young man saying something about, oh, well, he's
got a councilman sucking me off. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the councilman that bought me back at the park there and wants to build the highway, that guy. And they're like, what did you say? So you're gonna have that whole fucking thing break loose. But then he has such this like drastic ego hit now. I imagine that he's gonna be very childish these next few episodes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, very.
And she's gotta basically, and she's like storming off like, I gotta go deal with a goddamn baby now. Like, that's what that fucking shit was. Like, oh, you're crying again, great, yep, I'll be there. Can't throw you through the fucking wall.
Right. But an overall good episode. I enjoyed it. Nathan Lane sold it for me. The pistol whip from the shoulder holster with a 1911.
Yeah, that shit was fluid.
That was
you like watching water. Watch that.
best shot of the entire episode. But a fun episode. We're moving along. The plot's moving along. There's all of our paths are continuing. So that's a good sign. Any final thoughts? You got them all out.
I'm good.
I'm good too. Thank you everybody for listening. If you're just finding us, make sure you share us to your friends if you like what you hear. And we will catch you guys next week for episodes 4 review.
Bye, Echo. Bye, Logic. Bye, the people I know that watch the show.
I'm so leaving that in.